Chapter 8.
Mom, I met a boy, Darcy blurted out at the dinner table that night.
Really, sweetheart?
Mom replied. Yeah, his name's Hakeem Randall. He goes to my school and he's real cute. We got to talk this afternoon for the first time because he came with us to the tidal pool. And get this, he asked me to go to a concert with him after school Friday. Can I, Mom? I won't get home too late, she promised. Well, I suppose so. Are any of your other friends going too? I don't know for sure, Mom, but Hakeem said Aladdin's the hottest thing going this year, so I bet Tara and Cooper are going to be there. Just make sure you're home by 10 o'clock, her mother said. I'm working the late shift that night, so I'll be here when you get back. You can tell me all about what happens, she added with a smile. Thanks, Mom.
Darcy grinned and floated off, wrapped in private daydreams. Jamie, however, was not nearly so thrilled. She left the dinner table and went into Grandma's room. She hardly ever did that anymore. When Grandma was well and lived in her own little house, Darcy and Jamie spent a lot of time there. Jamie would race in first and fly into Grandma's arms, but now that Grandma was so confused and different, Jamie avoided her most of the time. Darcy heard voices from Grandma's room.
Grandma, do you remember hiking in the mountains? Jamie asked in a forlorn voice.
Is that you, Jamie?
Grandma asked.
Yeah, it's me, Jamie said. Do you remember when we go hiking and sometimes go back at night just to look at the stars and the moon? Remember how bright the moon was, Grandma?
I'm glad we went hiking, Grandma said. The air smells so nice. It's the pines, you know.
Yeah, Jamie mumbled, sounding incredibly sad.
I can't see the moon, Jamie. It's so dark, I can't see the moon at all. Tell me what it looks like.
It's big, real big. And the moon monster is ready to come down. He's lonely, Grandma. He's so lonely. He wants to catch somebody and take that person back to the moon so he has somebody to talk to.
Did you girls and your daddy catch plenty of fish? Carl is such a good fisherman. Don't they smell good, child?
Grandma must have fallen asleep then, and Jamie left the room without saying anything. She went to her room and closed the door. Friday began like an ordinary day. Jamie left for school with her backpack at the regular time. She didn't eat much breakfast, but then she usually didn't. She didn't talk much, but that wasn't unusual either. Darcy didn't pay much attention to her because she was excited about going to the concert that evening with Hakeem. Thinking about Hakeem crowded most everything out of Darcy's mind. She didn't even think much about her father. Darcy had gone on a couple of dates before, but never with somebody she really liked, somebody like Hakeem. After English, she saw him in the hallway, as always, but this time she looked him in the eyes and smiled.
Are we still on for the concert? He asked.
We certainly are, Darcy said. I can't wait.
I've been saving my money to buy a motorbike, and I'm almost there, Hakeem said. But not quite yet. And since we can't have Coop carting us all over town, we're going to have to ride the bus to the concert. I hope you don't mind.
That's fine, Darcy replied. The truth was, she didn't care if they had to walk to the concert. She just wanted to be with Hakeem.
Well, the concert starts at 7, so I could meet you at your house at 6:15, and we could walk to the bus stop together, Hakeem suggested.
That'll be great, Darcy smiled, her heart leaping in her chest. Darcy and Hakeem took the bus to the little club downtown where the band was performing. As they worked their way through the ecstatic crowd to get closer to the band, friends here and there shouted out greetings. As much as Darcy enjoyed the music, she enjoyed being with Hakeem even more. His company put a glow on everything. After the concert, they strolled around downtown. Darcy thought the nice cafes and shops were a welcome change from her neighborhood, and being there with Hakeem only made the evening more magical. Hakeem was still flying high off the music.
Man, weren't they incredible? That's what I want to do. Get up in front of a crowd, set the beat, get people jamming and lost in the music, he said wistfully.
I can picture you up on stage, Darcy said.
Your voice is great, and so is your guitar playing, she added, smiling. Hakeem looked directly at Darcy.
You know, I never thought you would be so nice.
I feel good with you, Darcy. I feel comfortable. I don't feel comfortable right away with many people. I mean, you seem stuck up when I didn't know you. But I guess you're like me, just shy.
Hakeem and Darcy arrived at her apartment just before 10 o'clock. They hesitated together at the door for a few minutes. Darcy was nervous, but she had to show him how much she liked him. So she pulled Hakeem's face down and kissed his cheek. Then Darcy grinned and ran inside. She knew Mom would be anxious to leave for her night shift at the hospital.
Did you have a nice time, baby?
Mom asked.
She was already dressed, car keys in hand.
Yeah, Mom, it was wonderful, Darcy said. She didn't hear the rap music from Jamie's room.
Is Jamie home?
No, she isn't, Mom said matter-of-factly. She's spending the night with Alicia.
Mom gave Darcy a quick peck on the cheek and hurried out. Darcy was surprised to hear that Jamie was spending the night over there. Jamie and Alicia had a falling out weeks ago when Jamie began hanging out with Bobby Wallace. Darcy decided to call Alicia's house. Alicia's mother answered the phone. When Darcy asked for Jamie, Mrs. Roble said,
I haven't seen your sister in weeks.
Alicia isn't even here tonight. She's over at her father's for the weekend.
Darcy rushed to Jamie's room. It was locked, but Darcy found a spare key and got in quickly. Darcy's hand shook as she turned the lock. The room looked the same, nothing unusual, but when Darcy checked the closet, she found all Jamie's favorite clothing gone. The t-shirts, the jeans, even her CDs. Jamie had left the nice dresses her mother had bought for her, the ones she never wore. She had left the family picture albums, the school books, the mosaic jewelry box Darcy had given her for her birthday, the beaded jewelry Jamie had spent hours making for herself. Darcy called every number she had for Jamie's friends or acquaintances. She even called Bobby Wallace's house. His mother said he was with his grandparents in Arizona. Nobody had seen or heard anything about Jamie's whereabouts. Darcy called the phone number her father had given them, but there was no answer. Darcy didn't want to bother her mother at work, but she had no choice.
Mom, Jamie's gone.
Gone?
Baby, I told you she was spending the night with...
Mom, no, that was a lie. I called Alicia's house and she wasn't even supposed to be there.
Jamie took all her favorite stuff and she ran away, Mom.
Ran away?
Lord in heaven, why would she do that? She's only a baby. She was fine at breakfast. Nothing was bothering her. Nothing in the world.
Mom was crying. Her voice was shaking.
I'll be home as soon as they can get someone to take my shift.
Okay, Mom, I'll make some more calls, Darcy said.
Darcy finally talked to two of Jamie's classmates who returned her calls. They both said Jamie had been in class as usual. Nobody had noticed anything strange about her. She always sat in the back, so nobody paid much attention to her.
Was she upset or anything? Darcy asked.
Neither of the classmates had noticed anything, but then they didn't know Jamie that well. Darcy figured that Jamie had packed everything in the suitcase Mom had brought her 2 years ago. It was for the trip they had taken to San Francisco to see cousins. Jamie probably packed and stashed the suitcase in her closet without anybody noticing. Mom was napping. Darcy was distracted. Who would have seen her? When Darcy's mother came home, she called the police. An officer came to their apartment and took a missing person report. Foul play was not suspected. It looked as if Jamie was just another runaway teenager.
Often a girl like that will hide out with friends for a few days, then surface, the officer said.
We've called around everywhere, Darcy said.
There's one other thing, Mom said. A week ago, her father showed up after 5 years. He left this phone number. I'm sure Jamie wouldn't have gone to him, but I suppose you should check there too.
After the officer left, Mom began to cry.
How could she do something like this to us? How could that child hurt this family after it's already been through so much? I've done my best for her. I've struggled for my children, struggled alone. How could she do such a thing?
Darcy hugged her mother and whispered,
She'll be back. She just wasn't thinking straight, Mom.
She was a happy girl, wasn't she? She wasn't doing all that well in school, but I didn't nag her about it. I didn't make demands on you girls, did I? I just let you set your own pace. I never criticized her friends or made her stop playing that loud music that gave me a headache. I gave her freedom. What did I do wrong?
Nothing, Mom. She's probably already sorry and on her way home, Darcy said. The next day, Saturday, Darcy tracked down Cindy, one of Jamie's friends who was part of the group of kids that hung out near the school. Cindy and her mother lived in an apartment about 6 blocks west of the school. Darcy could hear the muffled sound of a TV as she walked up to the worn door and knocked. Cindy was home alone, and she looked a little embarrassed to be caught in her hair rollers and bathrobe. Darcy asked her about Jamie.
I'm not surprised that she ran. I want to do it too, Cindy said. Jamie is sick of a lot of things. She hated school. She got problems at home. I guess all of it just got to her, so she just took off to get away.
Once Jamie talked about catching a bus and just going as far as it could take her. She probably thinking there's got to be something better than what's around here. People getting shot, using drugs, parents leaving their kids. It can't all be like this.
Darcy could see in her eyes that Cindy was speaking for herself as much as she was speaking for Jamie. Darcy thanked her and left. In the afternoon, Darcy got together with Tara, Cooper, and Hakeem. She told them what Cindy said.
Whoa, Cooper said. Little girl like Jamie could get in big trouble.
Maybe she didn't get that far yet, Hakeem said. Maybe she's still close by. Why don't we just drive around and take a look? We might see her in front of a hot dog stand or something.
Yeah, Tara chimed in. Maybe she never even left the hood.
Or even if she did take a bus downtown, maybe she lost her nerve after that.
She could be sitting in the bus station right now.
Come on, Cooper said. We can ride in my truck.
They all piled in and Cooper drove slowly around the neighborhood, stopping where groups of kids gathered. Then they headed for downtown. The area around the bus station was crowded. There they found the usual mix of people, men in shabby clothes, a few military people, and some teenagers, but Jamie was not one of them. Cooper parked, and they went into the bus station and looked at the people who sat waiting on benches. They did not find Jamie. Darcy didn't really expect that it would be that easy. Down the street from the bus station, there was a group of teenagers gathered in front of a video store. Darcy reached into her wallet. She pulled out a small photograph of Jamie that Mom had taken last year and walked over to them. Hakeem, Cooper, and Tara followed her. We're looking for my little sister. She disappeared yesterday and no one knows where she is. Here's her picture. Anybody seen her? Darcy asked. The kids leaned in close to get a good look at the tiny photograph. One boy with a shaved head studied the picture carefully.
Trolling down the canyon, he said. Lots of kids and runaways head down there at night.
Thanks, man, Hakeem said as the boy walked away.
The canyon?
Tara asked, unable to hide the alarm in her voice. Darcy had heard of such a place before, but only in news reports and rumors about drugs and crime.
That place is no joke, Cooper explained. Let's hope she ain't there.
A cold breeze began to blow as they climbed back into Cooper's truck and headed toward the canyon on the outskirts of the city. The sun was getting lower, and a thick line of clouds was beginning to crawl into the sky from the west. Darcy felt a sudden chill. She tried to convince herself that Jamie was somewhere warm and safe, but as the truck got farther and farther from the neighborhood, Darcy shuddered at the thought that her sister might be alone in the cold and darkening hills.